Welcome to this week's show, Baseball Family, where we're going to talk about the Shohei Ohtani sweepstakes, the Diamondbacks' new uniforms again, and the 2023 season wrap-up right now.
9plus Us presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together.
Baseball family, welcome back to this week's episode of the Baseball Together podcast. I'm Brig, and as per the mostest usual, I got the Bradmaster here with me. How are you, Brad?
I'm doing well. Enjoying cooler weather in Phoenix. Very much so.
It is an so autumnal. Much. It is an autumnal 90 in Phoenix right now.
Even better, it is an autumnal 80, Brig.
Oh. Well, in that case, the cactus leaves are changing color. And
that's right.
The cracks in the sand are a different shade of just ugly. All right, right, here we go.
You're not wrong there at
different
all.
Different shade of death. Baseball family, we hope you're enjoying this and getting ready to celebrate however you celebrate this week, because a bunch of the kids aren't going to be in school, especially if you're in the United States of the Americas. But we don't care how you celebrate. We're just glad you're here with us. All right, let's talk about baseball betting, because sports betting is rapidly rising in popularity, and we want to connect you with all of the opportunities to get started or get ahead, and here's the best one. Basically, having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to maximize your profits, and there has never been a better time to sign up. So when you visit our page, which is signupexpert.com/baseball, you'll be connected to all of the sports books in your region, along with a review of each platform and that platform's unique benefits. All of these sports books have valuable sign-up offers all the time for new users. And when you register through Baseball Together's link, you'll automatically receive the top offer for new signups at each one. When you use multiple sports books, and this we can attest to personally, when you use multiple sports books, you ensure that you can always access the best available odds, which is super key when doing sports betting, as I'm learning as a novice sports bettor. So if you want to take advantage of these benefits and support the show at the same time, then sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/baseball. That's signupexpert.com/baseball. As always, there's a link in the episode description. Now, let's get into this current event situation here, with the first caveat being that it is a very light news cycle this week. Basically, what is happening is the free agency market is heating up, but not much has happened. Yeah, there have been some signings back and forth. Some things are happening that are really sort of under the table feeling. It's like, all right, you can have this one. I'll take this one. It'll be all right. It'll be fine. But nothing big has happened. Would you say that's pretty accurate, Brad?
I would say that's pretty accurate. And I think a big part of it is that I don't think the big fish are going to be reeled in until Ohtani, until the whale has landed.
Yes. People need to know what to do with that money. If you're going to allocate that much capital, you need to know how much you have left.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it like, we'll get to it in a little bit, but it's like, okay, we can either pay Ohtani this much or we can bring in 2-3 guys for that much.
Right. Totally.
Right. And I think that that's a big part of what's happening. And there are some teams like the Phillies, for instance, who have not put themselves in the Ohtani sweepstakes because, quite frankly, I think it would be a problem for them financially if they did.
Yeah.
If they even said, look how much more money we can spend. And then they have players and other people being like, well, now hold on.
Yeah, no, well, huh?
I'd like to renegotiate if we don't land Ohtani.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Plus, given the hopes and dreams that I have just put out into the universe many, many times, not just now, but many times, I still want to see Mike Trout in Philly. So if they're going to go out and grab anybody, that would be the one I want to see personally.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be
and
amazing.
They did lock down Aaron Nola. So Philly has locked down Aaron Nola, 7 years, $172 million. That's a pretty good deal for them and him. I think everybody wins there. The Braves and Dodgers also made an offer, but they came in just under what he got from Philly. There may have been other teams involved, but nobody really cares because it's already done. Lance Lynn also signed with the Cardinals, maybe, sort of, I don't know. Probably we will know for sure by the time this episode drops tomorrow morning. We don't know. Looking like it'll be a one-year, $10 million deal. Might be $10 million. We don't know.
Yeah. Thank you, Bleacher Report.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Shohei Ohtani, because we just have to. There's a couple of things that we're going to get to after, but let's just jump into Shohei Ohtani. So Max Scherzer, this was interesting, and we're going to talk about Mad Max more, but Max Scherzer has been working to recruit Shohei Ohtani. This has kind of gone out widely. I think most people are aware of this, but the quote I thought was fascinating. He's telling Ohtani, and this was on an episode of Foul Territory that he appeared on, but the quote was, "Money is great, but winning is better." Now, Brad, I have two questions for you. The first is, do you think that's true?
This is the thing. This is the thing about that, is that these guys make so much money that winning is better, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think it was Jose Ramirez a few years ago said, "How much different is my life going to be if I make $5 million more, right?"
Yeah, that's right.
And Shohei Ohtani is going to make so much money over the course of his career that it's not going to matter if he goes to a team that pays him a little less, if he has World Series plural to go to his name and his legacy. Because he's not just chasing the best player in baseball. He's not chasing that title against Mike Trout or Aaron Judge or anybody else, any of his peers. He's chasing the all-time legacy of the Babe.
Yeah.
Which, to me, he's already passed him in a lot of aspects because he's way more athletic. He can do way more things than the Babe ever could, right? Different time, all that, everything, right? Different body types, all that. But at the same time, though, one of the reasons that the Babe is considered to this day still one of the greatest players ever is because he won so much.
Yeah, a lot.
He won so many World Series because his offensive output was so much greater than any other team in the league that they could win with just him. Shohei Ohtani does not live in a time when he can win by himself, as we've seen thus far, right?
Now, hold on. I don't think Babe Ruth could win by himself.
I think he did, honestly. I know he had guys with him, but I think he very well could have at that time.
I disagree, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Well, so think about this, though, Brig. He was hitting more home runs than teams were in seasons.
100% agree. Right? Yes.
And I feel like you get a guy who's that dominant offensively. Yeah, you can walk him, right?
Yeah.
But then at the same time, though, like, I don't know, he was coming around scoring runs, I guess. But I don't know. I feel like in that day, the talent disparity from the Babe and the other guys, because he's playing against, like, woodworkers, right? A lot of these guys weren't playing baseball full-time because they couldn't afford to.
Some of them, yeah. Early. You know? As 1915, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
You get into 23, 27, then no, I don't think that's...
You get into the murderer's row, and that team just wasn't fair.
That
especially for the time.
No, that I agree with.
That's putting MLB The Show on dynasty mode and turning off your salary cap and and trade restrictions. Been like, I want Judge and Ohtani and a healthy Stanton and Julio Rodriguez and Max Scherzer, Jacob DeGrom. That's the
Jacoby
team.
Jacoby Ellsbury with a pom-pom, maybe two pom-poms.
Towel waving on the end of the dugout.
Yeah.
That's where you put Jacoby Ellsbury. But that's what the Murderers Row team was, though, right?
Yeah.
That was a cheat code.
For sure.
For the time.
Yeah, for sure.
But I feel like when it comes down to it in the end, I think that a lot of people are still going to compare Ohtani, his rings, to the Babe's rings, because that's the only comparison you can really make in the end, other than the fact that they did similar things and that the Babe also started out pitching.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, he sure did.
So,
anyway.
I think it comes down to he's going to try to find somewhere where he can win, because I think he's sick and tired of losing in Anaheim.
No doubt.
I think that's what lot of this comes down to.
You answered both of my questions. My first was, is this true? My second was, how true is this for Ohtani? So thank you for that. All right. Let's talk potential landing zones. landing spots for Shohei Ohtani. I've got some data here, and we're going to go over it, but I just took a sample from around the horn. But I do want to know what you think on your own, and I want to know what you think of this list. Would you like to give me one versus the other sooner rather than later? Do you want to tell me your opinions before you see the data?
Well, first, I want to know what kind of data this is. Is this like Bleacher Report being like, this is where we think he's going to go, or the Bleacher Report, like baseball journalist team, has called around the league to executives and said, what are you hearing? Where do you think Ohtani's going to go? Well, he's certainly not going back to Anaheim, but the Dodgers are heavy favorites. Yeah, that's what we've been hearing for a while. Is there anything behind that? A lot of speculation, right? Like, where's this information coming from? Who's coming up with this list? That's what I'm really curious about.
Well, and there's no way to know. So thank you for taking a shot at that. No. I have three journalist teams, and I have brought together their 10 potential trade or landing spots for Shohei Ohtani, and the disparity between them is actually really interesting. So we're going to go through this in an interesting way, and I'm going to go down the line, number 10 across all three, number 9 across all three, number 8 across all three. Okay.
Okay.
According to Bleacher Report, the number 10 spot is Anaheim to stay with the Angels. CBS Sports doesn't list the Angels anywhere on their list. Their number 10 is Houston. And the DraftKings have the Braves, which don't feature on Bleacher Report's list, but do on the CBS Sports list. Right off the bat, I want to know, how do you feel about that number 10 slot?
I think Bleacher Report is probably spot on that if there are going to be 10 teams in the running, Anaheim is going to be number 10.
You think so?
Yeah. That out of everybody, like, they're in consideration just because he's familiar, but that's he's least likely to go there.
I agree with that.
The Astros, I hadn't even considered putting them on the list.
Same
thing with the Braves. Like, I get the Braves there. I get it. Both teams are probably like, we didn't win the World Series, so we need to get better. How can we get better? We can add Ohtani. That's the fix-all solution for anybody in the playoffs this last year. What do we need to get better? We need to add Ohtani.
Yeah.
But the likelihood of that happening with either of those teams is like, they should not even be on the top 10 list.
That's exactly how I feel. And I feel like, how do I say this? This anything from like number 7 down, you have to make an offer because you have to make an offer, right? Yeah. You have to appease the fan base. You have to appease the ownership group. You have to appease the history books. You have to be able to turn to yourself in however many years and say, hey, we tried, you know,
not even make an offer. You've got to make a competitive offer.
Right. That's why I think the Angels end up on a list like this, Houston, Atlanta. That's it though. I don't think they belong anywhere on this list. Okay, we're going to jump up now because we're going to go all the way to the front of the list. I'm going to just trash the idea I had earlier. The front of the list is number 1, Bleacher Report says LA, the Dodgers. Okay. CBS Sports says the Dodgers. DraftKings Network comes in and says Baltimore Orioles. That's exactly what I thought. I was like, what?
They're trying to pad their sports book a bit.
Yeah. In fact, they put the Dodgers at number 3 on DraftKings, which is probably inappropriate.
The Orioles don't want to pay the guys they have.
I know.
Much less that much money for that guy.
I'm telling you, man.
Let's be honest, Brig.
I know. It was so funny to me. So basically, baseball family, this what we're trying to tell you is, if these lists are any indication, it's that nobody has a freaking clue what's going on. Okay.
Well, and the thing that I think is funny is that everybody's saying the Dodgers just because they're across town and they have a whole bunch of money.
They do, and they are motivated.
I think that's it. They're obviously motivated. Yeah, for sure.
For sure,
but they've motivated. Got other holes they got to fill, especially with a guy who's not going to pitch next year. You're signing a pitcher who's not going to pitch in 2024.
Correct. That's exactly right.
And that's something they need.
So Jeff Passan, who like passing a basketball. That's how you say his name, in case you didn't know.
Not Passan.
Jeff Passan. Thank you. Jeff Passan, quote, ultimately, this will come down to Ohtani's priorities. If it's money he wants, nobody has more than the New York Mets owner, Steve Cohen. If it's residence in Japan, and we know his culture is big for him. That's not him. That's me. Quote, if it's residence in Japan, no relationship between team and player matches that of Seattle and Ichiro Suzuki. Though the notion that the Mariners will pay top dollar for Ohtani simply is not real at the moment. Continuing Jeff Passan, his quote, he said, and if it's comfort, he can just go back to the Angels, who gave him relatively carte blanche the past 6 years. That is the most compelling argument for Anaheim I've heard to date.
And those are the three most reasonably laid out teams for him to go to. I feel like money, the Mets have all of it. They can give him whatever he wants.
Yep.
Culture, the Mariners. And that's the thing that's made sense to me the entire time is his connection. Right. He loves Ichiro.
Yep.
Right.
How do you not? I mean, right. Everybody loves Ichiro.
And comfort, yeah, absolutely going back to Anaheim. But I think he also understands the frustration. And I wonder if that's another part of it, is that he can get money and some comfort with the Dodgers by not even moving out of his house, potentially.
Could be. Well, and then you got to figure San Francisco is just not that different, right? It's not that far away. It's not that different. And I can see them also giving him lots of rope.
The weather is a little different there, though.
Yeah, that's true. 100%. I saw San Diego on a list and laughed. Didn't make any sense to me.
They got to take out a big loan to pay for Ohtani. Yeah,
they don't have money for anything. I don't understand.
No. Are they on any of these three lists? No.
Yeah, they are. DraftKings has them as number six.
What are they doing over there, DraftKings?
It's amazing.
They're trying to manipulate their betting on what they're doing. That's what this is. It's
so funny. Dude, I put them on here. I just was laughing the whole time. I was like, whoa, dude.
Well, because they've got the Reds and the Rays. The Rays at number four, Brig. The Rays don't pay anybody.
I know. Here's the DraftKings Rays are looking for
volunteers as ball boys.
Here's DraftKings top 10 spots for Shohei Ohtani. Baltimore, going from 1 to 10. Baltimore, Texas, Los Angeles Dodgers, Tampa Bay, Cincinnati, San Diego, the Yankees, San Francisco, Houston, and Atlanta. Like, there's like three or four of those teams that are even worth considering.
Rangers.
The rest of them are goofy.
And I don't even know if the Rangers really are. Like, you got Mad Max recruiting him, but I don't even know if that's a realistic. It's like somebody just spit it out the other day. Like, you know, I could see him going to the Rangers because they won a World Series. And now everybody's like, yeah,
that's right. Of course. That's exactly how it feels to me. There is not a world where I envision Shohei Ohtani signing a long-term 10-year deal in Texas. I don't get it. It doesn't work.
If the Diamondbacks had won the World Series, they would be on this list.
Right. Somebody would be saying the same thing. 100%. And that wouldn't make any sense either.
The visual, though, of Shohei Ohtani walking through Arlington wearing blue cowboy boots and a red cowboy hat, though, just popped in my brain, and now I might need to see it.
Yeah, that's exquisite imagery, sir. I am very happy about this.
Ohtani to Texas. Let's make it happen.
So I have to speak as a Yankees fan. I do not see him ending up in pinstripes. I just don't, and it's okay. Everybody wants him. I think lots of Yankees fans want him to go there. And I do too. I mean, how do you not want that? I just don't see it happening. I don't think the culture's right at this current time.
Right.
I don't think the culture's right. I think everybody knows something's rotten and broken and they're going to stay as far away as possible. Unless all they care about is money, which is why we stand a chance to get Juan Soto, but that's for a different day.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think Seattle's a really compelling argument, but what we haven't talked about is Chicago, because the Cubs pushed really hard for him when he came in to the league, especially following Kodai Senga. And I wonder if that might come back out during this negotiation period. They've got a new leadership in the clubhouse. They've got an otherwise balanced team with capabilities. You know, I just wonder.
Can they afford him?
Like, I think anybody would be able to afford him if they wanted to.
Well, right. Like, that is the thing, right? Like, he pays for himself when it comes down to it. Right. Yep. And maybe that's why the Padres aren't on here, because they need the revenue.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. Please come sell us jerseys.
Sell jerseys.
We don't even care if
we need the gate. We will pay you to wear our jersey. How is that?
It's like watching Henry Rule Inverter come out there. Like, just come, please.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, that is kind of the question, right? Is that, like, can they afford him? And the answer is most likely yes, because he pretty much pays for himself with the revenue he brings in internationally, domestically, everything, right? It feels weird to me, though, to have him with the Cubs.
Does it feel the same way when you think about the Rangers? You're like,
Yeah, because he feels like a coastal guy. Like, he's going to pick either the East Coast or the West Coast. And most likely, I still feel like he's going to stick on the West Coast, because I think he wants the shortest flight possible back to Japan whenever he can take it. You know, obviously doesn't get a chance during the season. But when it comes time,
maybe.
But also, I don't know, he doesn't feel like a Midwest guy.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with you. I just don't. Other than just gut feeling, I don't know why.
But if he's going to pick a big market, it's either going to be New York or L.A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Couple of contract proposals that I've seen, possible contracts, are 11 years, $535 million. And I've also seen 10 years, $400 million with an opt-out after somewhere in there.
After 2024, like, that would be really interesting to give him an opt out super early, to be like, just in case you have buyer's remorse.
Yeah,
we're gonna give you the option.
Would that be a team option or a player option?
If you can't give him as much money as he's asking for, give him the player option.
For him to just say, thanks, I'm out.
Yep.
Especially after he won't have produced any defensive capabilities. He wasn't shown any defensive capabilities after that.
Mm-hmm.
That means he could have opted out just for culture and winning potential alone.
Yeah.
Wow. That is.
If he went somewhere, is like, you know what? This doesn't feel quite right after a year.
Wow. That would be a monumental contract.
And then you know what though, Brig? At that point, you know what? The team can be like, we gave it a shot.
That's right.
It was on him. He can be public enemy wherever it was, and the front office is off the hook.
Ooh, I like that. Okay, but if Shohei Ohtani decides to bail from your franchise, let's say he goes to Seattle, and he gets a 2024 opt-out, and he was like, hey, it just wasn't right or whatever.
Yeah.
You're telling me that Seattle fans wouldn't be livid. Like, what's wrong with the culture?
Right. That's the other thing too, right? Like, what did the front office do to him? What'd they say to him?
Yeah. Right.
You know?
But the front office
can, as far as that goes, almost feel like they can wipe their hands of it. You know, but yeah, I could see that being the fans thing. And then maybe they boo him when he comes back. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to get dicey. Okay, let's move on, but let's stay with Japanese players. Because Yoshinobu Yamamoto, in case you don't know, is an absolutely incredible pitcher coming out of Japan. And he posted for free agency today. He is now open for negotiations for what I think is a 45-day period, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
45 days to negotiate a contract. His Japanese records stand at 16-6.
This is for 2023
alone. Thank you for that. That is a great caveat. 2023, 16 wins, 6 losses. A 1.21 ERA. Let me say that again. A 1.21 ERA across 23 games, 2 of which were complete games. One of them was a shutout. He gave up 22 earned runs all season long. He gave up only two home runs all season long. He walked 28 batters. He recorded 169 strikeouts over 164 innings pitched. I don't understand, but it gets better or worse or whatever, because he's also posted a 0.884 whip. It's a sub-1 whip. It's not even a sub-1. It's a sub-0.9 whip. Brad, what do you do if you're the world and you realize that, yeah, the balls are a little different, but this dude is about to show up on your doorstep?
You say, we got offense, we need pitching. Get on the phone. Yeah. Get there in person. Do what you need to do to get him here, because he's got to be our guy.
Brian Cashman was in person a few months ago to watch him pitch, and he tossed a perfect game or something like that. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It wasn't a perfect game that day.
I think it was a no-no or close to it.
Yeah, it was a no-no, yeah. I think. But, yeah. Yeah, and there were a bunch of teams there. We did a report on that. But this dude is going to make a splash as well. Will not be nearly as big as Ohtani's, but it's going to be a big deal.
He might be a better pitcher than Ohtani, though, to be honest with you.
The problem is you're
almost guaranteed that he's going to need Tommy John in like a year.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. Yeah. But if you budget for that and you plan your roster accordingly, then it's kind of like, okay, here we go.
Deal.
But one of the things I did see about him, I think he really is like, really wants a big market, wants to go somewhere big. Like,
that's awesome.
Which means I think the Mets and the Yankees have a really good shot at him.
Yeah, I think you're right. It feels good for him to end up there. Like, it feels
like it makes sense.
Feels like it makes sense. Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay.
Yep.
Back to Max Scherzer. And then we're going to take, we got more. Okay, let's move fast through Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer is claiming that the pitch clock is causing more severe injuries. Not just more injuries, but more severe injuries. Both. More and more severe. In fact, on an episode of Foul Territory, the same one we referenced earlier, he discussed that pitchers lost time due to injury. This season alone was up 6.1% higher than it was last season. So
that sounds like a stat that a Boris client would throw out there.
I was just going to say that's exactly it. I was like, it is up 6%. Okay, it gets better because he went to or cited, I don't know what the relationship is, but he cited two of the most widely acclaimed physicians in this space and got their opinions on this, and they agree. So Dr. Meister, quote, saw that the elbow injuries this year were just way more severe. If you look at all the data that came across the game, that the pitcher injuries, arm injuries, they're on the high end, but the severity of the injuries are much more problematic. That's what Max Scherzer said.
Dr. Meister doctor said that.
Quoting Dr. Meister. Anyway.
So I think this makes sense. You brought this up, and I thought for just a minute, I was like, okay. And, you know, there were guys saying this year that, like, they were blaming the injuries on the pitch clock.
For sure.
It's like, no. But then, like, as I took actually the time to think about it and think about the things I have learned my years in school.
Yes, many.
It's really interesting because in high exertion situations, it takes 3 minutes for your ATP to fully replenish. ATP is like the energy packet, the packets that give you energy, right? The particles.
I'm sorry, Brad. Energy. You're doing it in the wrong voice.
The ATP is what gives your body energy to function. Take 3 minutes for it to fully replenish after high exertion activities.
Okay. Thank you. This is a real thing. This is a real thing.
I'll pay attention now. So, but yeah, I'm with you.
So I was thinking about this. Like, if you're making pitchers pitch every, what is it? It's like 15 seconds for the pitch clock and then 24 runners on base.
Mm-hmm.
It could be 18 this year. But they're going high exertion situation over and over and over again, not allowing their body to fully regenerate. You think about a long at bat.
Right. 8, 10 just, pitches. Yeah.
Yeah. Going over, not giving your body a chance to fully regenerate the energy that it needs to perform that task at the highest level. And you're continuing to push your body to perform that body at the high, that task at the highest level. And then what happens when you get tired? Your mechanics start to suffer.
For sure.
And then you correct. And that's how injuries happen. So it makes sense to me now. Like I said, just thinking about it for like a minute, like, yeah, actually. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the pitch clock at this very moment, Brig.
Baseball family, Brad is a much better person and way smarter than the rest of us. It took him one whole minute to figure that out. And the rest of us
over a year, though, Brig,
are faster. We don't want to see pitchers hurt, but we also understand that it has really helped a lot of things. So where is the middle ground? I do not know.
Right, and that's the thing, you know, like, do you maybe lengthen the pitch clock instead of shortening it, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah, here's the thing that kills me. The pitch clock has been a great thing, but if it's going to cause problems with the game, I don't know.
Yeah. The thing for me is that, and you bring this up all the time, the league already has a deficiency in pitch talent, right? There's just not enough of it. If you then attribute or assign or whatever, if there's too much injury to the scenario, then you end up with
already.
That's right. Then you end up with really big problems. And then you talk about revenue and you talk about all of the things that it does for the excitement and the romance and the drama of the game to have a guy like Max Scherzer be out because he needs an injury dealt with. Or you know,
how much would we have liked to have seen the Rangers with Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom in their rotation?
Exactly. So when you factor all of that in, it is an enormous opportunity cost.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to have long-term implications on the game itself.
Yeah. And it has potentially pushed some guys out of the league. Like Alek Manoah has not been able to pitch at all with the pitch clock. And yes, there have been some conversations about his conditioning and things like that that have attributed to it. But even physically, like maybe he just cannot pitch with the pitch clock.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it's interesting and we're going to keep an eye on it. But baseball family, speaking of guys being phased out and not being able to handle the pitch clock, Bartolo Colon is just as a reminder is on the Hall of Fame ballot this year. So that dude, I don't think would have been able to hang in there with the pitch clock.
No, I don't think so. I mean, maybe if he got that help that he got, right?
Yeah, he definitely got some help. I don't know. We'll see. But just so you know, the Hall of Fame ballot does include a few new names. And those names are interesting. Have we talked about this before, Brad?
I think we talked about it a little bit when it first came out. But
yeah,
that's it.
Okay. Well, let's just go through it again just in case. And for those of you who are listening, this is what, or new to the show, this is what's going on. Adrian Beltre, Joe Mauer, Chase Utley, David Wright, Big Sexy, Bartolo Colon, Matt Holliday, Jose Bautista, Adrian Gonzalez, Jose Ramirez, Victor Martinez, James Shields, and Brandon Phillips are all newcomers on this year's Hall of Fame ballot. Go, Brad.
And maybe Matt Holliday will touch home plate on his way to the Hall of Fame ceremony.
I knew you. I was so excited. I was like, I saw you lean forward. You were. It's like
an automatic. There it is. He's response. Lobbing it up for me. Got to knock it out of the park.
I'm like, oh, man. I just threw him an Ephus pitch. I can't believe he hit it.
Crushed it.
He crushed it. Oh, my word. That is Brad's favorite joke in the history of jokes.
Brig, I will never, ever, ever forget that. I know. They should have a home plate. If he gets voted in, they should have a home plate sitting up there on the stage and make him touch it with his hand before he comes up and gives a speech. I would 100,000% make that happen.
A gold-plated home plate, just like a one that matches the plaque, right?
Yeah. Yeah, put it on the ground and say, touch that before you give your speech, please, sir. And I bet you, Brig, enough time has passed that he'd be like, yeah, I didn't touch home plate.
Yeah, oh, I'll bet
I'm
you're right.
I'm sure he would admit.
Especially if it was somebody like, you know, Joe Torre, who would be able to laugh about it with him, or something like Griffey, who's in, you know, in the club now and whatever. That would be really fun. I would dig that. Okay. Last thing before we take a break, the Diamondbacks revamped their uniforms again. It has been a grand total of 45 seconds since they did it the first time. Right. If you'll remember, the Diamondbacks went, it was a relatively subtle change, but they removed all of that sort of gradient, pixelated, snakeskin looking thing from the shoulders of their uniforms, which I thought were pretty slick, but apparently not so.
It's funny, though, because you see those around town now, though, and, like, they are not, they don't look nearly as clean as what they do now. Like, especially with the red or the black. Yeah. Yeah. It already feels outdated just seeing that stuff around town.
Cool. That's cool. Oh. I'm glad.
But here's
the new stuff. It did have a very early 2000s feel to it.
Yes, it did. Here's the new stuff. So they went with the big A, right, on the left breast of the jersey for their home white, which looks a little cream to me.
It does.
Right?
Off white. Yeah.
I like it. Very fitting for the desert, because nothing stays white in the desert. And then you've got their black alternate has the same A. And this is the thing that they've done. This is the big thing they've done with these, is everything is outlined in turquoise now. They've gotten rid of the Vegas gold. It's all outlined in turquoise. And I don't like it against the red because it clashes.
It's terrible.
It's not good. Like, if they kept the Vegas gold and did all this stuff, I would be all for all of it. But I don't like the turquoise with the red. But they've got their red alternate. It says D-backs across the front, black writing, again, outlined in turquoise. And then the gray is their Arizona font with, like, the fangs on the ends of the A.
Love that. I always love that.
So cool. And that's in red. That's actually, it looks like it's outlined in black. And that's on their grays. But they have...
No, it's turquoise. It's
is it turquoise? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, but they haven't... variations of their hats. Let's talk about the hats for just a minute.
Oh, please.
Okay. So first off, they have the A, right? The red A with the turquoise outline. They have it on all black cap.
Fabulous.
They also have it. It's so clean on the black. I love it. But they also have it on red, a red crown with a black visor. And now this year they wore this hat, and I loved it because it had the Vegas gold and it had black, and it really popped and it looked amazing. But I, again, the turquoise against the red.
It's terrible. I was so livid when I saw that home cap. I was like, dude, I don't know what is that. I'm still mad.
Yeah. I was thinking I should have picked myself up a black one this year, an all black hat, and it's going to be tougher to find now. But then they also have these alternate, like these road hats that have the D snake, and they have black with a red visor, and then they have all red with a black snake that's outlined in turquoise. And I don't love that D logo. Like, I'm all about like the snake head and the A, but it looks like they're pretty much going away from the snake head, except for there's like a tertiary logo now, because it's on the jersey, it's on the sleeve, but they're not doing hats anymore, which bums me out. But this is what I thought was really cool, Brig. They're home whites. They're given two variations with the hat there. They'll go with the red crown and the black visor, but they'll also go with the all black. And it looks so good. The all black with the home white.
I agree. I don't know who approved the red cap with the black visor and the turquoise against it, but they need to get fired. I'm so fired up about this. I'm so angry.
So
the other thing too is
Ahead. Real quick, so like I agree with you, because, and this is a big thing, like they have two different colors of snake D's, because the one on the black crown is like that old school gold or whatever it is that I have. They should have done like black, like inverted the colors. yeah, on the red crown and not just had a red A against a red crown because it's all the same color. All you're seeing is black and a little bit of turquoise.
Yep. So the home whites are really fascinating to me because vintage is in all around Major League Baseball right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. And I think the best of them are the Twins. Honestly, the Twins, their home alternates are with the two, it says Twin Cities in script.
I remember when those came out, we were both kind of like, it just seems so plain. But looking at them on the field,
I know
they're good. Right.
So this kind of leans that way for me, keeps all the roots nice. I love the Sedona red. I've always loved it. I love the turquoise if it's used appropriately. And here on the jersey, it is. It's fabulous. And it's a nod to the culture and all that stuff. I think it's great. And I love that it's cream or off-white or whatever the color it is.
So then they've got the red alternate. And they're going with either the red, the all-red hat with the black snake and the turquoise outline, or the black crown with the red visor.
I don't hate these jerseys.
I like the jerseys,
but that red cap is terrible.
It is. And the D logo period, I feel like is just, it's awkwardly shaped.
It is. And I wore that logo in Little League 100 million years ago when it was black and rose gold, kind of that really rich gold. And there was turquoise and purple and all the things.
I think that's what that is. The rose gold on the black crown.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Anyway, I don't know, man. I think if you were going to go retro, like where's
the purple? If you're going to have this much turquoise, bring the purple.
Where's the purple with the pinstripes, man? I'm still mad. Like, if you do a whole rollout and you don't bring back an alternate that's one of your home, I want vests with purple sleeves, pinstripes, and turquoise, man. I'm so angry. Ah, they missed an
opportunity. You're absolutely right.
To scoop up all the old fans and donate a bunch of nostalgia to the new fans that are coming up, especially with all the talent, especially with all of the hype going on. They had a World Series appearance. This is the time to link the generations. And I think that's where they were trying to go with that D logo, but they blew it.
Yeah. You're spot on.
I'll be okay.
He'll be okay. But no, I think you're right. They missed an opportunity with the purple. They needed to bring it out and put it there somewhere, but they didn't. Too much turquoise, not enough purple.
Correct.
Anywho, before we get into our break, let's talk about Versus Game. Baseball family, we're always asking what you think about the topics we bring up on the show. Let us know what you think about the D-backs uniforms, by the way. And now you have an even quicker and easier way to share your thoughts. We partnered with Versus Game to bring you games where you can earn prizes from participating in polls, trivia, and predictions. So if you're on the winning side of a poll or get a trivia question right or a prediction right, you have an opportunity to win real, super cool prizes. So you can play for free and have an opportunity to win prizes every single week. Head to btpod.onversus.com on your mobile browser and sign up and play our polls and trivia games. Again, that's btpod.onversus.com to sign up and play Versus Game with us. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we will be wrapping up the 2023 MLB season. Welcome back, baseball family. Thank you for taking a quick break with us. We're going to get in and wrap up the 2023 MLB season. We're going to go through all the awards. We talked a little bit about them last week, and we're going to revisit our meaningless predictions from the very beginning of the season. So if you went through those with us, we're going to play them so you get to see exactly what we said, and we'll talk about it a little bit and share our thoughts and feelings about what happened, what exactly went down. So, okay, first let's go through player awards. Let's start with the MVP. Brig, let's see here. I didn't put these in order. So here is your National League MVP. Who did you say?
In the NL, I got Trey Turner.
You had Trey Turner. I have my National League MVP is also Trey Turner.
Ooh.
Mm.
That did not happen.
No, it didn't. And we were both like victims of the moment because he was so hot in the World Baseball Classic. I think there were some growing pains in Philly that he went through, and the fact that Acuña was otherworldly.
Dude, nobody was going to touch Acuña. He was unanimous NL MVP this year. In case you didn't know, baseball family, he won the whole thing for sure.
Yes, he did. All right, so here's the AL MVP.
Julio!
I freaking wish.
No.
Here's mine.
American League, I'm going with Otani.
Okay. Oh! 1 point for the Bradmaster.
Otani, your unanimous AL MVP. And I know I went off of that late, right?
Yeah.
Saying that it should be Corey Seager since he finished the season was the only reason they got to the playoffs. And I think that maybe some voters should next year look at that. Because I know, and we say it all the time, Ohtani could literally win this award every single year.
Yeah.
Because he has two players wrapped into one. But I think eventually we're going to get some voter fatigue on Ohtani.
Yeah, one day. It'll be in 2024 when he doesn't pitch as well. That's what's going
to
happen.
You're probably right. That's going to be what happens. All right, let's move on to the Cy Young.
Okay.
Brig, your NL Cy Young.
In the National League, I'm going to give it to Sandy Alcantara.
Ooh. No.
He's been injured all year, but hiding it. Sorry. That's not going to happen if you're doing that.
I got to find mine. My NL Cy Young. In the National League, I have Corbin Burnes. Not even close.
Just a bit outside.
That's exactly right. For those of you who don't know, Blake Snell won it in the National League, and rightfully so. He had an incredible year.
Yeah, he tore it up for sure.
So Brig, your AL Cy Young.
In the American League, I have Dylan Cease. Oh! Oh!
Decent year for Cease. He's on the trade block. He's going to end up with a contender, but not a Cy Young year.
No.
I don't think you were as far off as I was, though. As far as the AL Cy Young goes, I'm going to stick with Luis Castillo. I think he finished top five, though.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, it was Gerrit Cole by a landslide.
And another guy, rightfully so. I don't think it was close with either of these guys, to be honest. No. And I don't think it should have been.
No, I agree.
So, Brig, get your counter ready because we're going to go into the manager of the year. Let's start with the National League manager of the year. Who did you have?
In the National League, it's the same thing. I got to go with Skip Schumacher in Miami. Oh, bloop. Nailed it.
Point for Brig.
Yeah.
Who did I have?
In the National League, Bob Melvin.
Not Bob Melvin.
You did not. It was not Bob Melvin.
No, it was not. Skip. It was Skip Schumacher, and rightfully so, again. No. And it was, I think he won it for the reason you said, because I went back through and listened to all this, and you said because of what he's going to do with what he has.
Yeah.
I think that had a lot to do with it.
That makes sense. Wow.
All right, should we look, let's
I think
look
I backed
AL.
Off of that one a few weeks ago, though, didn't I?
You did, yeah, because you said, well, before, like when the finalists came out.
Yeah, who did I say? I don't know.
I can't remember who you said, but I also, like, it was funny, though, because I said Schumacher when the finalists came out.
Yeah, you did.
For the exact same reason that you said back before, but I'd forgotten that's why you had said it. Like, I was watching this, and I was like, oh, man, yeah, that... We agreed just 8 months apart.
Like 6 months. But 8 months apart.
All right, here's the AL manager of the year.
Bruce Bochy in Texas.
You were close.
I was close.
American League manager of the year. I'm going to go with John Schneider.
Oh, no.
No. No. Not even a little bit.
No. No, thank you.
I thought the Blue Jays were going to be so much better this year.
I did too. I was really shocked.
I mean, I'm shocked. I'm not, I don't want to say I'm disappointed because I'm not, but I'm definitely shocked with how it went.
That's fair.
So
that's a fair representation of how I'm feeling as well. It was Brandon Hyde, by the way, for those of you that didn't know. Brandon Hyde won the American League Manager of the Year.
And looking back on it, I don't know how we didn't see that coming. because yeah, we knew that. I think we both knew the Orioles were going to be good this year.
I did. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think we both definitely did.
Yeah. Not this good.
No. No.
All right, let's talk. So I talked about Rookie of the Year last year, but let's go ahead and revisit it.
Last week, you mean?
Yeah, that's, I mean, last week, whatever. It feels like last year. But anyway, so yeah. Here is the NL Rookie of the Year from both of us.
I think Corbin Carroll's going to win it in the National League.
I have him as my National League Rookie of the Year. Okay.
Yes!
Nailed it.
Yeah.
That one was easy, I felt like.
Yeah.
Let's find your AL Rookie of the Year real quick. Where'd you go? I don't think either of us got it right. Actually, I know neither of us got it right. Here's mine. My American League guy is Anthony Volpe.
It was not Anthony Volpe.
It was not, because I think you chose Anthony Volpe too. I can't find your American League Rookie of the Year brig. I'm pretty sure you said Volpe as well, though.
It's possible.
Yeah. But no, instead, who was it, Brig?
It was Gunnar Henderson.
Gunnar Henderson. Yes, it was. Baltimore. And yeah, both were unanimous because they both had standout years. And this is the thing. Volpe had a good year. It just wasn't that good.
No, it wasn't. He struggled too much at the plate for it to be a Rookie of the Year campaign. Yeah. It just did.
Yeah, exactly. I think I missed your Rookie of the Year, so I don't see it on here anywhere.
Well, I'm giving myself a point then.
I had no proof to say that you didn't choose Volpe or did you pick Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah. I may have picked Gunnar Henderson. I don't
you
know.
Didn't.
I don't
think so. You didn't. We both picked Anthony Volpe.
Come on, man.
Anyway, all right, let's move on to the playoffs and division. Okay. So we did predict our division winners like we do every single year. And so we'll start with the NL East. We have both of our predictions here. This is the winners of these are the division winners. Now, we didn't go all the way down the list this year. So I have the Braves, the NL East.
It's going to be the Mets.
I got the Braves.
1 point for the Brad.
That's
Blackjack
right.
Jack Brad. I messed that one up. But so did the Mets.
I was going to say, okay. But you and like everybody else, right?
Yeah.
You were not everybody. The only one who said the Mets.
Nope.
But I was not sold. NL Central. Here we go.
Central? NL Central. Cards.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Wrong. A row.
Swing and a miss.
We were not even close.
We were so off. Bob Gibson might as well have hit us in the face with a fastball. Like, that's how far off we were.
Yeah. Not yet.
And only because we couldn't see and neither could he. And that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then the NL West. I think we were both way off on this one too. I know I was.
The West. Friars. I've got the Padres.
I do too. I have the Padres as well.
Oh, dude. That's catastrophic.
I wanted the Padres to be good so badly.
So everybody else did too. Everybody did.
Well, they should have been. They should have been good. All that talent and nothing to show for it. Okay. Here's my AL East. The AL East, I have the Blue Jays winning, and I don't think it's going to be close.
Oh.
Whoa.
Oh no.
Yeah, that was not a good prediction. I don't see your AL East in here though, Brig. You know, I'm gonna blame StreamYard on this because I feel like sometimes stuff gets deleted.
Right, we upload it and it
yeah. I don't know. I'm gonna check real quick because I have them all in a folder.
Yeah,
gonna see if I can find yours. There it is. You had the Blue Jays as well.
Oh, man. Okay.
So neither of us were right. Okay. On to the AL Central. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. We have both of us here.
AL Central. Who do you have? Cleveland.
Me too.
No.
It was closer than it probably should have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely was not Cleveland.
Oh, man, dude.
And here is our, both of us for the AL West.
And the West. The Mariners.
I have the Mariners winning the AL West as well.
Wah, wah.
missed it by like a game and like two games.
Yeah, but... It was. That's why it was so disappointing.
Yeah, I know. And this is the thing: is that like I think I talked about this before, or maybe it was when we recorded another episode over the weekend. But I was riding that 2019 prediction so hard.
Yeah.
So hard that I was sticking to my guns.
You had us all going, man.
And I had everybody going with me, drinking the Kool-Aid.
That was
I'm curious what Kool-Aid, else I could have. I'm curious what else I could have gotten you guys to believe, though.
Well, like, the Kool-Aid was fabulous, so I'm probably a little deviled egg, maybe a rotisserie chicken.
I brought the whole spread.
A little cranberry sauce.
That's right. Okay, let's move on. Well, so we have our wild card picks.
Okay.
I have my AL wild card picks here. I'm not seeing your, oh, here we go. Both of our AL wild card picks. The wild card teams. I have the Astros, the Orioles, and Yankees.
So I have the Yankees, Astros, Twins.
You had Yankees, Astros, Twins.
Two of those teams made it to the playoffs.
Yeah, the Astros ended up winning the division on the last day of the season.
Yeah.
And then the Twins won their division.
Yeah, but not as wild card teams.
Right, yeah. Here are NL wild card teams.
Okay, the additional three wild card teams are going to be the Braves, the Dodgers, the Phillies.
I have the Mets, Dodgers, and Brewers.
Ooh!
I had the Brewers ended up winning their division. They were a playoff team,
but the Phillies were a wild card team.
Yeah,
I get another point.
Nice. You do get another point.
Tied at 3 points apiece. Oh, shoot. Baseball family.
Okay. Next are our World Series predictions, and I'm going to tell you right now, Brig, this is the end of the points.
Yeah.
So here's your World Series prediction.
They advance to the World Series where they face off against the New York Mets, who do, in fact, met the bed in the World Series, loses to the Mariners.
Okay, the Mariners didn't play the Mets because neither of them played anybody in the playoffs, so that worked
out. That's right, yeah. They played as many playoff games as we did, Brig.
Yeah.
Zero, for those of you keeping track. And here's my World Series prediction. As you can guess, I had the Mariners against. So obviously, I have the Mariners winning the World Series. I've been saying it for 4 years now. This is the year it's going to happen. They're going to beat the Padres.
No. Ooh.
The Padres played exactly as many games as the Mariners did in the playoffs. So.
And the Mets.
And the Mets. And you and I. Yes. We all have that in common.
Yeah. And the Yankees, by the way.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That's dumb. I hate that part of this conversation.
And you know, so one of the big takeaways from this, Brig, that I saw, like watching this whole thing, I'm going to just play one of these and just see if anybody who's watching can notice this before I bring it to everybody's attention.
And the West. The Mariners.
I have the Mariners winning the AL West as well. My beard is probably 4 inches shorter, and I think your hair is about that much longer.
I don't know.
Than it was. It might be 6 inches longer now.
It might be 6 inches longer. Should we do this real quick?
Do this? Yeah, that's considerable.
Look at that.
Look at that salad.
That's like a salad.
And my beard was like here.
Yeah. Well, so, and you've trimmed it significantly from where it has been this year.
I did. Well, yeah, I trimmed it back in July. Yeah, so got a little bit more growth on it, but. No, I was like, wow, that beard is like tight and trim, and your hair was high and tight.
It was.
It's a long time for those both to grow. So we talked about meaningless predictions. Was there any big surprise for you this year, Brig, in the 2023 season?
I mean, not the other than we've already discussed, like the Mets were bad. Padres were bad.
The Padres, like, in September, though, like the middle of September, were like, wait a minute, like, we're not, like, out of this yet.
Yeah. You know,
like Josh Hader was like, we're out of this, I'm not pitching. But the rest of the team was like, we, like, have a shot at this. And then they decided to start winning.
I think that the Rays epic slowdown after their 13-0 win and then opening the season 13-0, that was amazing. But then, and then what was it? They were like in first place for like 100 years, and then suddenly they just weren't. And they never really recovered. I think that was a huge surprise. I was waiting for the season, the regular season win record to break, and that didn't happen. Another big surprise for me was some of the injuries were really disappointing. I don't know if they were necessarily big surprises, but they were massive disappointments. Like Jacob deGrom, when he's healthy, dude is out of this world good. Like his unbelievably good, but gosh, he just cannot stay healthy, and that bothers me. Aaron Judge, his timeout bothered me.
His was weird too.
It was weird. Yeah, I don't look. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of disappointment, and there was a lot of unexpected sort of surprise stuff. What about you? What do you think?
One of the pleasant surprises was the Diamondbacks, because you and I remember going into the season, you and I were both like, they're not going to be real good, but they're going to be close to 500 team. They're going to make a lot of teams really upset toward the end of the year. I remember that specifically, like that conversation. And I was really pleasantly surprised about the start that they had. But then after the All-Star break, when they really struggled, I was like, oh, here we go. Regression to the mean. Right.
Yeah.
And it kind of was. And then they had to fight their way into the playoffs. But then we shouldn't have been surprised at the run that they made in the playoffs, because they were really good at the beginning of the season. They were in first place in the NL West for a little while.
For a while, yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, like, we really shouldn't have been super surprised about that, because we knew what they were capable of. It's just a matter of getting back to that, and they did for a while, and then the magic kind of ran out against the Rangers, right?
Yeah.
The Rangers, who have been surprisingly consistent all year long, relying on the long ball. Which was another surprise for me, was I kept waiting for it. These bats are going to cool down, the pitching is going to catch up, and it's going to be the same old Rangers. But it wasn't.
Right. I had the same thought.
I could put that as one of my surprises and disappointments as an AL West fan.
One of my disappointments is that none of the teams that committed to playing small ball, stealing bases, dropping a bunt, bloop singles, that kind of thing, manufacturing runs, that those teams didn't do better. That was a disappointment. Like, yeah, I just need more of that.
So something interesting to think about with the playoffs is the cold weather cities didn't do well. Philly did.
Yeah, Philly did.
Philly did well. But like Milwaukee, no. The Dodgers didn't do great, but they were playing against a fellow warm weather city. Yeah. The Astros and the Rangers did well. The Twins didn't do well. The Orioles didn't do well. And Toronto certainly didn't do well.
No.
Right. And so it is really interesting to look at the weather in these cities and think about, like, okay, going into October, it cools down significantly. It's almost overnight. Like here in Phoenix, they say, you just got to get to Halloween. And it's like 95 degrees after the sun goes down while you're trick-or-treating on Halloween, and then the next day it's 75 degrees, November 1st. You know, it's crazy. And I feel like everywhere else that happens on Labor Day or even October 1st, if you're a little bit farther south. And so you're starting to get immediately, you're like, well, okay, bats are cool. Not going to hit the home runs we did.
Yeah.
Right? So it's really interesting that those cold weather cities don't, or at least this year, didn't do as well. It's something I think I'm going to pay attention to more as we go forward. Watch style of play and where they're located come October.
Yeah, that's a really good thought. And if they can build on it,
you know,
if it's something they have to adjust for October, or if it's something that they can carry into October.
Yeah. Yep. Another, like, a disappointment for me, obviously, was Seattle. I had huge expectations. Going into the season. But the big, like, blow for me came really early with Robbie Ray. At that point, my brother-in-law, I was visiting family, and my brother-in-law was like, so you still think the Mariners are going to win it? And it happened, like, I think Robbie Ray went down like 3 days before that. I was like, nope, not going to happen. Yeah. Needed everybody to stay healthy, especially him, and it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So, and the disappointment started there and just went downhill until the All-Star break. And then finally things went up.
A little late, but yeah, they did.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Honestly, I was shocked that the Rangers won the World Series.
Me too.
Shocked that the D-backs, like I said, shocked the D-backs were there.
Yeah. But
I was absolutely pleasantly surprised that they beat the Astros and they even got to the World Series.
Same.
Because yeah, I figured as soon as the Astros clinched their spot in the AL West, or in the ALCS, I was like, here we go again, another Astros World Series.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought too. Yeah. On a not necessarily Major League Baseball related topic, but still a baseball topic, a tremendous thing that happened this year was the success of the Savannah Bananas. Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, it did. And just when you thought they couldn't get any bigger, they did. Just when you thought they wouldn't be able to announce anything cooler or more exciting or more revolutionary, they did. And it is so much fun to watch. I see Savannah Bananas t-shirts and jerseys and hats seemingly every time I leave the house.
Oh, I'm sure certainly where you are. Yeah.
Yeah, certainly. Or especially when it's a baseball related activity of any kind. You go down to Truist Park, especially in Atlanta, and you have a lot of Savannah Bananas gear there as well. It is really fun. And now they've announced their world tour is now expanded to like way more cities with much bigger audiences.
They're playing in big league parks in some of those places. They've got three teams now. They've got the firefighters instead of just the Bananas and the party animals.
Yeah.
It's unreal. The growth that we've seen with them over even just like the last year. It's insane.
That's what I mean. It's been like 1 year of explosive popularity and growth, and it's so cool. Love it.
It is. It is super cool. Yeah, that's been a lot of fun to watch, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun to continue to watch just because Jesse's a brilliant entertainer and and a brilliant mind for just putting together an amazing show, so it's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, he's killing really cool. it. Man. Happy for them.
Yep. Well, that's really the 2023 season in a nutshell right there. If there's anything you feel like we missed, let us know in the comments. Anything that you were super surprised by, disappointed by. I was, like I said, the Rangers, you were calling it going into the season. I know you were saying next year, but you're saying something's going on down in Arlington.
I did.
I didn't want to buy into it, but I really should have. you saw what I didn't want to see.
I'm feeling a little bit smug, but I kind of cooled off on them, just to be honest. We all did, especially when DeGrom went down, but then things turned themselves around. Anyway, what I would been wanting to say is, baseball family, stick with us because this is not our full recap of the 2023 season. We do have our best and worst moments of 2023 coming out in a future episode, and it's not going to take very long till we drop that one. So stay tuned for that, because that is, I feel like that was a fun list for me to compile, and it gave me a more broad view of specific moments throughout the season that I thought were great and not so great.
Yeah, for sure. So drop some of your surprises, disappointments, some of the predictions that you had or didn't have. I don't know. You don't even need receipts. Just let us know. Just drop in a comment. Let us know what you thought was going to happen. And if you called the World Series champion in February, let us know, because that's awesome and exciting. But baseball family, don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and review. Subscribe down here on YouTube. If that's where you're watching, hit the button down there as it sparkles and lights up as I say subscribe. Hit the like button as well as that sparkles as I say that. But baseball family, again, thank you so much for joining us, and we will catch you next week.